Father, we thank you for this gathering. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon it, Lord. Lord, just put the words in the preacher's mouth, Lord, that we may hear the word, Lord, and that we may go out of here, Lord, and better than we came in, Lord, and that we may preach to other people, Lord, and tell them about Jesus Christ and what we learned here, Lord, and his saving grace, Lord. And Lord, just did Jesus Christ be lifted up in this service today, oh Lord, I pray. And we thank you for everything, Lord. Let us go out of here safe, Lord, and good fellowship between us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Pray this all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Turn to Psalm number 11 in the 101 book. Number 11, Joy Unspeakable.
Will be here, and he and his wife Charlotte are going to come
And we're actually going to have a breakfast on the previous Saturday as well at 9 o'clock or 9:30 in the morning. And we'll have a good time of eating and then good time of songs because, as you know, he's a very good musician. We always have a great time when he's here. And then he and his wife will stay around and be here on Sunday, and he will teach and preach on Sunday morning as well. So we'll have a good time. All right. Jason, go ahead with your announcement.
Okay. On Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to have a special speaker with us. His name is Raul Pinto. He is of the he's from the La Espada Ministry, which is a bilingual outreach evangelist in the United States. Also reach Spanish-speaking people. And he's from Maine. He goes to Gospel Light Baptist Church in New Vineyard, Maine. And so he's going to be here Wednesday night. He's going to present the ministry and then also speak for us on the evening service. He is supported by the Gettysburg Baptist Bible Church with Dave Mitchell's pastor down there. So they gave him the recommendation to come here. Wednesday nights, we don't really have a set speaker, so he's going to come through the area. He's preaching this week in North Carolina, he's just finishing up a week of meetings down there. So on his way through, he's going to be here Wednesday night with us. So come on out. If Wednesday's not your normal night to come out to church, try and make a point this week. Come on out and see him and hear the ministry that he's presenting. That'll be this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.
All right. I have one more announcement. Carl, come on up. We're going to welcome you into our fellowship. Carl Bush has met with the our men who are on the search committee, and in the stead of the pastor, he shared with us how God saved him and brought him to himself, and how he led him back here after several years being away. And we're welcoming Carl back to our ministry, and he has joined our church. So, if we can all stand and come up and greet him, I think that's a good step. So,
that's right.
didn't know they were coming, but we would like him to take a couple minutes and share about his ministry and what God is doing.
Amen.
Well, thank you for just giving us the time just to give a little bit of a testimony. So if you have met me already, my name is Justin Dye. I'm with Katie's back with our children, Andrea and Juliet. And we're from a church just south of Buffalo, New York, Faith Bible Baptist Church. Pastor Urkel is my pastor. And we're with Birth for the World Baptist Ministries. That's our mission. We're based out of Roswell, Georgia. We are going to Papua New Guinea to work with another missionary. This man's a second-generation missionary. We met him because our church supported him, and Kaylee and I took a mission trip, just 3 weeks long, to visit him right after we got married. We were newlyweds, went over there and visited, and he asked us to come back and help him. So Brother Chad Wells is his name, and his family's over there. They've been there, they're on their second term now, but like I said, he's a second-generation missionary to Papua New Guinea. He grew up there as a teenager, and he basically went back and started helping his dad, and we met his dad and him when we went on that trip. And on that trip, he asked us to come back to begin helping out in a printing ministry that they have. Papua New Guinea is a Pacific island. We share, it's the second largest island in the world. We share that with Indonesia. We're just north of Australia. So if you find Australia, it's got two peninsulas on top. If you look on the eastern side of Australia, right above Brisbane and Sydney, that coast is Papua New Guinea. So you'll find us there. We're going to be up in the highlands, up right in the middle of the jungle, basically right on the edge of the bush where we live. We have electricity and cell service and things like that. But you go about 20 minutes in either direction, and it's jungle. And our churches, our bush churches, with national pastors that we're going to put in there. Like I said, Chad asked us to come over and take over one segment of their ministry just to get started, and that is a printing ministry. He's been printing Bibles and tracts and hymnals up there for distribution for his churches and churches of. There's a bunch of missionaries up there. Within a couple hours of where we're at, then we're trying to help as well. The Bible is important because there's 841 languages in Papua New Guinea. We're second in the world behind India, and although India has over a billion people, we've got about 8 million. So there's some people groups, some language groups that are only a couple hundred people large at this point. That Bible is printed in Hindi English, which is a trade language, it's the most widely spoken language in that country. And that Bible is basically able to go anywhere in the country of Papua New Guinea, no matter what tribe you're going to, if they'll have you in, you can distribute that there. So basically, the first thing we're going to get started on is helping to print that Bible and helping to print gospel literature and things to help those pastors and those churches. And then as we learn the language and as we integrate into that culture and get over culture shock and all those things that missionaries have when they first go over into a field, Chad wants us to help start more churches. And basically, between the print shop, between the about 10 or 12 churches that he and his dad have started and are currently functioning right now, between the Bible Institute, where they're trying to train up the next generation of pastors to go out and start more churches, between all that and the fact that other missionaries, his dad has retired, and because he got old enough where he was having health issues staying in Papua New Guinea, he's had to come back to the States. So now what was being shared by a veteran missionary and his dad is all on Chad's shoulders right now. So he's keeping that going, but he hasn't been able to expand the ministry and start new churches in a few years now. So like I said, that's part of what we're helping, taking on some of that workload, and then also helping push further into the jungle. I will say this, the door of Papua New Guinea has been wide open as of late. They just held their elections, their government elections last month. Voting, and basically they do it every 5 years instead of every four, and we can kind of stagger everything. Not all the senators change over at once in our country. For them, the whole government shuts down when they get reelected. So our visa paperwork is in the country, and we're waiting on that, and that'll get picked up as soon as they figure out who's going to be in charge of that. But the other thing I will say is, I mentioned that the door is open over there. The education minister, who was previously elected in Papua New Guinea last term, I don't know if he is getting re-elected or not, but he basically opened the door so that any missionary could distribute that Bible that we're printing, the King James Pigeon Bible, in schools, in government buildings, any place like that. And so, I know that the missionaries that I know, and I know there are some other missions boards that are basically trying to get as much as they can of scripture into the country. Because, like I said, the government is favorable towards it, even more than our government to go over to Papua New Guinea this September. That's what we're praying for. We're just seeing a little bit of more support. We have about 9 more churches to take us on, and we are, and our visas are in, they're being reviewed right now. We basically made it through the first of 4 stages. So pray that that would go smoothly for us. If you get a lot of our parents, pray for that our support increase. That's what we can go over when our visas are done, and pray that nothing that happens to our visas that gets approved and nothing gets lost or anything like that. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. One more announcement, Jim.
Peter, to talk about Pastor Reddy, we got an email through Donna. Last week, I believe, and he just puts in there he is $2,000 in debt, and his on the other end, his transportation, he's requesting, just putting it out there to pray about a car or a motorbike, some sort of transportation. From what I'm understanding, right now they're in the rainy season, so I guess an automobile is what he's wishing for, asking for. So we can just pray about this, that God will find a way to provide this for him. If you're being led to give to this, you can put the money in an envelope, mark it what it's for, put it in the Pastor Reddy box. Just making you aware of this, that we can pray about this, and maybe we can help him out a little bit. All right, thanks.
All right, our little break went longer than we anticipated, so we're going to skip to our last song that I was planning, number 93. This is a favorite of many of us. Brethren, we have met to worship.
I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it through this world all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty, mighty big man. Because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Man, that's so true, isn't it? We need the Lord, amen. We need the Lord, that's for sure. Well, if you have a Bible this morning, would you please turn to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. It's certainly good to be in the Lord's house this morning with the Lord's people. And Brother Missionary will be praying for you and your family. Amen. Lord bless you. Meet the rest of your needs and get you over there as soon as possible to do the things the Lord would have you to do. This morning in Matthew chapter number 3, we're going to start here. I want to preach a little message this morning. I'm going to springboard from here. In Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, we'll read verse number 1 to 9, and then I want to focus in on a verse and take from there a thought to just preach a little bit this morning. Matthew chapter number 3. Would you look with me, please, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." The key verses are going to begin in verse number 7, and I want you to note verse number 7 to 9. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You see, these people didn't come to be baptized. They came to see what was going on. The fact of the matter is, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were self-righteous. They were so self-righteous, they didn't believe they needed to be, they didn't believe they needed to repent, and they didn't believe they needed to be baptized and agree with the message of John the Baptist. They pretty much came just speculators, if you will, looking at what was going on. And verse number 8, here's what John said to them: "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." And verse number 9 is the verse I want to focus on more particularly this morning. Here's what John the Baptist said to these Pharisees and Sadducees as he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and as people were coming to be baptized and these self-righteous religious people came to see what was going on. He knew that they were a generation of vipers. They were poisonous snakes, if you will, in the grass. And he knew they didn't come to get baptized, but came to see what was going on. He knew that they thought they didn't need to be baptized. They didn't need to repent and agree with John's message, if you will. And he said this, "And think not to say within yourselves." It's amazing how, as John the Baptist is preaching to these people, he knows that this certain group of people were going to be thinking something inside contrary to what he was saying. By the way, I believe that thinking on the inside ought to be going on during the church service. Somebody help me with that one. Amen. You say, what does that mean? That means I should be thinking about what I'm hearing. Amen. That's what it's all about. If you can come to church and sit through the service and not think about what's going on, you're probably not going to get it. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, I believe that our sinful hearts, and by the way, our hearts are sinful, amen, desperately wicked above all things, who can know it? Only a fool trusts in his own heart, amen. As the word of God is being preached, we sometimes are on the inside agreeing with it, or we're disagreeing with it. We're saying something on the inside, and that's good, amen. I hope we're saying the right things on the inside. But John the Baptist knew, as he was preaching to these self-righteous religious people, he knew that they were probably thinking something in their hearts. And here's what he says: they were probably thinking that they should not have been. Verse number 9, "And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father." You see, what he's saying here is this: don't think because you're children of Abraham that you're already saved and you don't need repentance and salvation. Think not to say, verse number 9, "Think not to say we have Abraham to our father." And by the way, here's what John the Baptist goes on to say: "For I say unto you that God is able of these stones." Now they say Israel is just laden with stones all over. They say that the Jews would often say that the stones are as common as Gentiles. Common as Gentiles. And by the way, with that thought in mind, I really think there's a deeper meaning to what John the Baptist is saying than just simply what he's saying. He says this, and they think within themselves, we're children of Abraham, and so on. Verse number 9, he says, "God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And might I say unto you that if the Gentiles are as common as those stones, he has raised up children to Abraham, amen, from the Gentiles. We're not part of his flesh, but we're a part of his faith, amen. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, "You are lively stones," amen. You and I that are saved are living stones, amen. In fact, we make up a building or a habitation for God, if you will, amen. What I want to draw out this morning is this thought from this, and I'll take us for a little ride, hopefully, into the scriptures. What we have here is we have people who think their physical connection is all that was necessary for them in reference to them being saved or safe. And I want to say this morning. Physical connections are not enough. They're not enough. In the context of John the Baptist preaching to these Jewish believers, if you will, or these Jewish people, if you will, that, hey, don't rest in the fact that because you're a Jew, that means you're okay with God. Your physical connection to the nation of Israel doesn't mean that you're a child of God. Amen? You see, physical connections are not enough. I believe there needs to be a personal, spiritual connection to God himself, amen, in order to be saved. In fact, I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Romans, chapter number 9. Romans, chapter number 9. In the book of Romans, chapter 9, 10, and 11, it's all about the nation of Israel and how God is not done with the nation of Israel. The church has not replaced the nation of Israel. Amen. The nation of Israel right now is on a timeout. Amen. And God raised us. See, they rejected the stone. They rejected Jesus. And when they rejected that stone became the head corner of the church. Amen. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Amen. They valued him less than what he was. Amen. They thought he wasn't who he said he was. But most Gentiles, the church is made up primarily of Gentiles, a few Jewish people, thank God for it. But the fact of the matter is that we have here, I want you to look at Romans chapter 9. Look at verse number 6 to 8. I want you to see what Paul said about the Jewish people, if you will. Romans chapter 9, verse number 6 to 8. The Bible says this. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Here's what I want you to see. Look at the rest statement in verse number 6. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. You see what he's saying there? Not all Jews are truly saved. Not all Israelites are truly Israel. He goes on to embellish upon it. Verse number 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Just because you're a seed of Abraham doesn't mean you're a child of God. Amen? He goes on to say, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You see, God, by the way, Ishmael was a child of Abraham, but he wasn't a child of the promise. Isaac was a child of the promise. Ishmael was a product of the flesh. Isaac was a product of faith. Jewish people are a product of the flesh, if you will, but believers are a product of faith. Amen. Look at verse number 9, I believe. Is it verse number 9 or verse number 8? Verse number 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. When it comes to salvation, number one, here's what I want you to get. When it comes to salvation, physical connections are not enough. It's not enough to be connected to Abraham as a Jewish person. But by way of application, by the way, your physical connection to your family doesn't make you saved. Your mom and your dad, somebody said God has no grandchildren. Your mom and your dad may be saved by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that doesn't automatically make you saved. Amen? You see, your physical connection to whoever doesn't make any difference. Amen? It's your connection to God himself that is the key to being saved. Amen? I want you to note with me, if you would, to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, please. Physical connections are not enough. Not enough. It's not enough to be a Jew, and that's simply going to bring you salvation. Jewish people need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. Amen? John chapter number 1. I want you to note with me, please. John chapter number 1. And I want to look at verse number 11 to 13. John chapter number 1 and verse number 11 to 13. Physical connections are not enough when it comes to salvation. John chapter 1, look at verse number 11, if you will, please. The Bible says this, he came unto his own, And I believe this to be the context of the Jewish people. And his own received him not, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look at verse 13, the first part. He's talking about those who believed and those who were saved, which were born, it says what? Not of blood, meaning they're not saved because of their blood relative, their blood connection, if you will. Amen. When it comes to salvation, physical connections are not enough. You may be connected to a great preacher. You may be connected to a great minister or a great missionary. You can be connected to some great whatever. But if you're not personally trusting Christ as your Savior, your connection with them is not going to make the difference. Amen? And we have to understand this. Turn to Matthew chapter number 12, please. Matthew chapter number 12. I'm just trying to say, according to the scripture, listen, physical connections are not enough. What am I doing? I'm bringing it down to an individual personal responsibility. Amen? Matthew chapter number 12. I want you to see something here. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm beginning verse number 46. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 46. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 46. Physical connections are not enough. Not enough. Matthew 12, look at verse number 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother. Now he's talking about Jesus here, by the way. Jesus' mother. His mother and his brethren. By the way, Jesus had brothers. Jesus had relatives. Amen. Mary had more children than Jesus. Amen. She's not the perpetual virgin. Amen. Look at it goes on to say, and they stood without, desiring to speak with him. So we have Jesus, we have Mary, and we have some of Jesus's brothers. They come to where Jesus is at. Obviously, they can't reach him, but word gets to him. Your mother and your brothers, they're out there waiting for you. They want to speak with you. Look at verse 47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Now look what Jesus did, verse number 48. But he answered and said unto them, that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? What is Jesus saying? Who are the ones that are really my relatives? Who are the ones that are really related to me? You see, what Jesus is going to do, and I believe that Mary was a believer, but I don't know that his brothers were believers until after the resurrection. So you got physical brothers of Jesus at this time. And here's what Jesus does. Look at verse number 49. And he stretched forth his hand toward who? His disciples. Those that were believers. And said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. You see, you have to personally believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and become saved. Amen. To be his relative. I'm related to Jesus. He's my brother. God is my father. And it's not because of any other physical connection that I have. It's because of the personal connection that I have with him through Jesus. Amen? Physical connections are not enough. Not enough. Turn to Luke chapter number 13, if you would, please. Luke chapter number 13. I'm just saying, as I read and study the scriptures, I note these texts. And all these texts pretty much say the same thing. Physical connections are not enough. Now listen, you may not need to hear this, but there are some people that need to understand this. Amen? There are some people thinking if they rub elbows with certain people, boy, that's a plus there. That's an in there. Amen? Who you know, they say in the work world. Amen? I want you to look at Luke chapter number 13, please. Look, begin in verse number 22. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse number 22. And he went through the cities and villages, talking about Jesus, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, verse number 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. By the way, that gate is a door. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. By the way, might I say to you, make sure you got the right door. We know John chapter number 10, Jesus talked about himself being the door. Amen. He's the one and only way to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one. And by the way, how many doors was on the ark? One. How many doors led into the tabernacle system? One. picturing there's only one way to God. That door is Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Amen. Make sure that you are truly trusting the right door. Amen. Verse, by the way, because the devil puts out a few doors. Amen. Look at verse number 2. By the way, how do you know the right door? Make sure it's a scriptural door. Amen. Look at verse number 24. I don't want to get off on another message on the doors, but nonetheless, verse number 25. He said, when once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door. By the way, that's a grave thought right there. Just like when Noah built the ark and the door was open and the opportunity was there to get in. Once the door was shut, and by the way, when you think about the ark, God shut the door. God sealed the door. When the door shut, if you're on the outside, you're going to face judgment. And so there's coming a time when the door is going to shut. Don't let it shut on you. Get in, amen. He goes on to say, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. By the way, he's particularly speaking to the Jewish people in this text. It's going to come a time when the door is going to shut and these people are going to bang to get in. Watch this now. Verse number 26. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Might I say this? They're going to begin to say, we had a physical connection with you. We had a physical connection. We ate and we drank in your presence. And thou hast taught in our streets. We had a physical connection with Jesus, with you. Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who all had spiritual connections, and all the prophets and the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Verse number 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. My personal view is he's speaking about Gentiles here. And shall sit down in the kingdom. You say, what would that make a difference? People who were there in the physical presence of Jesus. He made no difference in their spiritual, personal life. But Gentiles who are far off will be coming and enjoying that kingdom because they had a personal relationship with him, not a physical one. Blessed are your eyes, or you, because you have not seen him. You've had no physical connection, yet you love him. Amen? Verse 30. And behold, there shall be last which shall be first. And I think that's the Gentiles who were last. They're going to become the first. The Jews who were first will be last. But the fact of the matter is they're going to say, hey, we had a physical connection. And he's going to say this. Listen, I never knew you. That word know has to do with intimacy. That has to do with a connection. Amen. You see, when it comes to salvation, physical connections are not enough. I want you to turn with me to one more place in reference to this. Turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, please. Physical connections are not enough. It's not enough to be connected to a preacher. It's not enough to be connected to a church. It's not enough to be on the church rolls, amen? You can be on the church rolls, but not on the rolls in heaven, amen? Some people are content to have the physical connection when needed a personal spiritual connection with God himself, amen? Philippians chapter number 3. I want you to note this. Here's the testimony of a man who at one time rested and relied upon his physical connections and then came to the conclusion, these are not going to do anything for me. Amen? And that's Paul the Apostle. Notice what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse number 1. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. What is he saying? He's saying, beware of the Jewish people who are coming to you Gentiles, telling you that trusting Christ alone is not enough. You need to be baptized. You need to be circumcised. You need to do this, that, and the other thing. Beware of them. He says in verse number 3, for we are the circumcision, referring to himself as a Jew. We are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And what's the next statement? And have no confidence in the flesh. What he's talking about, no confidence in the flesh, is referring to his Jewishness. I'm not placing my confidence in being a Jew as my salvation. Look at verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh. He said, I more. And he begins to name all the credentials that he at one time trusted in order to save him. He said, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I was blameless. Basically, he just listed a bunch of credentials connecting physically, if you will, to his religion and his nation, all the things that people boast themselves, this is what's going to save him. Here's what he says in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, what things I thought were gained to me, if you will, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for I'm suffered the loss of all things and do count them but what? Dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul the apostle in this text said, listen, if you are trusting your flesh as a Jew in order to save you, he said, I could trust my own flesh even more. And he lists all those credentials that people would think, wow, this truly is going to save me. And he said, I counted that but nothing. You can't trust these things to save you and trust Christ at the same time. When you got all your credentials of your salvation in your hands, my good works, my church membership, my baptism, when you got all your good works in your hands that's going to save you, you can't take and come over here and get a hold of Christ. You know what you have to do? Let them go. These, what I thought was saving me, what I thought was giving me that edge, all these physical connections, all these things, I've gone, worthless, can't trust them, no gain to me. I drop these and I simply trust Christ and Christ alone. Amen? When it comes to salvation, physical connections are not enough. Amen? Let me give you another thought. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 7, please. Jeremiah chapter number 7. I'm going to have to quickly touch on these ones. Jeremiah chapter number 7. Physical connections are not enough. Not enough. Jeremiah chapter number 7. I want you to see something else. As we're talking about the fact that physical connections are not enough. Jeremiah chapter number 7. I want you to see something. We said this, physical connections are not enough when it comes to salvation. Let me give you a second thought. Ready? Physical connections are not enough when it comes to safety. When it comes to safety. You say, what do you mean by that? When it comes to protection from God, physical connections are not enough. I want you to see something. Jeremiah chapter 7. Would you look at verse number 1 with me, please? We'll begin in verse number 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Jeremiah as a prophet was told to go to the temple. Stand there at the temple when these religious people, these Jewish religious people were coming to that temple to seemingly worship, yet their hearts were far from God. God had a message for them that he wanted Jeremiah to proclaim. Here's what he says. Proclaim there this word, saying, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah and the entire and that enter into all the gates, these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. What had already happened, it is believed by many that Babylonians had already started to take captives from Jerusalem. Maybe they had already taken one group captive. Jeremiah had been preaching to this nation because of their sin. God was going to send a nation from the north, which is Babylon, to come and to take these people into captivity. And the nation, the Babylonians, didn't take them all at one time. Maybe they took one group, and Jeremiah is now telling them, look, God's given you an opportunity. Get things right, and if you do, you'll have safety. You'll stay in this place. God will not allow them to come and take you. Look at verse number 4. Look what he says. Here's what I want you to see. Trust ye not in lying words. Somebody was saying something to the nation of Israel, although they were living in sin and they had already seen God starting to judge them. Somebody was lying to them. Maybe some believe it was maybe a false prophet saying, no, you're not going to go nowhere. God's not going to allow you to be taken away. Look at verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. You know what he's saying? God's not going to allow the Babylonians to come into Jerusalem and take his people captive and destroy this place. No, he's not going to do that because God's temple is here. We have the temple of God here. God's not going to allow this place to be destroyed. We have the temple of God here. Let me tell you what they had. They had a museum. You see, they had the temple of God there, but they didn't have God's presence there. Amen? And they were thinking, and somebody was lying to them, say, hey, we have a physical connection here to the temple of God, and God's not going to allow nobody come in here and take us away and destroy this place. Look at verse number 5, if you would, please. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Don't believe because you have this physical connection with the temple that God's not going to allow it to be destroyed. How many great buildings that housed great meetings have become museums where God is not even there anymore? Amen? Verse number 9. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these things? See, these people were living wickedly, yet they were going to the temple. Living wickedly, yet going to the temple. See, God was just one of their gods. He wasn't their God. Verse number 11. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh. You know what he's telling them? Where I set my name at the first, and see what I did for it to it for the wickedness of the people of Israel. What is he saying? He's saying to these people who say, we have the temple here. God's not going to do anything. We have the temple here. He said, listen, you want to know something? Go back to Shiloh. Go to Shiloh and see what happened. You see, what is Shiloh? When the nation of Israel came out of the land of Egypt and they came through the wilderness and they came over to Jericho, once they got over to the promised land, they set up the tabernacle at Shiloh. The presence of God in the tabernacle was at Shiloh. What happened at Shiloh? At Shiloh, the Philistines, 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Philistines came to fight the children of Israel. Remember that? The children of Israel sent out some of the army to fight the Philistines. And guess what happened? They came running back with their tails between their legs. They lost 4,000 soldiers in that battle. Do you know what they did? They actually got Hophni and Phinehas, two wicked sons of Eli, wicked sons. They said to them, get the Ark of the Covenant. You remember the Ark of the Covenant, right? You remember that box that was in the Holy of Holies where the Shekinah glory of God would manifest his presence, if you will. They said, get the Ark of the Covenant. Hophni and Phinehas got the Ark of the Covenant. They took the Ark. By the way, here's what the text said. Get the Ark of the Covenant that it may save us. That it may save us. Let me tell you what they did. They did what you sometimes see in Hollywood movies. Like The Exorcist or something like that. Go get a cross. We're going to go in here with this cross and we're going to fight the devil. We're not saved. We have no connection with God. But we got some physical relic that's going to do something for us. The nation of Israel said, get the Ark of the Covenant. Let's get it. They took that thing into battle with the Philistines. And not only did they lose 4,000 men, they lost 30,000 men with the Ark. The Ark was taken. You remember that?
Eli died hearing about it. Phinehas' daughter had a child, and she said, name him Ichabod. The glory is departed from Israel. She was wrong. Because they took that box didn't mean the glory was departed. The glory had already parted from Israel before the relic was gone. God wasn't there. They had physical connections. We got a physical connection to a box. We have no connection with heaven because of our sin, but we got a physical connection with a box. I'm going to take my physical connection. I'm not going to be right with God, but I'm going to do something. Do you get me or no? Physical connections are not enough. It's not enough to live wickedly and then grab some physical connection to God and think this is going to make the difference. Amen? Remember Shiloh. Remember how that ark was. Remember what happened there. Remember Shiloh. Amen? I want you to turn to one more place. 2 Kings chapter 2. Listen, I'm trying to say this. When it comes to salvation, physical connections are not enough. Not enough to be connected to somebody saved and righteous and religious. You need to be connected to God himself. When it comes to safety, when it comes to God's protection, having a physical Bible, running into a sanctuary. Remember the old sanctuary? Run into a sanctuary for safety. Having physical connections to God without having him, not enough. Not enough. We got to get beyond all of this and get to him. Amen? Get to him. I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that too many people are content with the physical connections and not content or not seeking a connection with the Lord himself. Amen? 2 Kings, if you will, please. By the way, I was just thinking about that story. You remember the exorcist in Acts chapter 19? Remember they tried to cast out demons? They said, we don't know this Jesus, but Paul knows him. We adjure you by the Jesus Paul preaches. Come out of that man. Then you know what happened. Them demons came out and beat them people up, left them naked and wounded. I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to experience the power of God without a connection to God. You know, kind of my connections to Paul. I heard of him or something, right? 2 Kings chapter number 5, chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Physical connections are not enough. They're not enough when it comes to salvation. They're not enough when it comes to safety. And let me say this. They're not enough when it comes to success. And I mean success, as we saw with the Ark of the Covenant, there was no success in battle. There was no success in battle with a physical connection. That was it. But there's no success, not even in ministry, without a personal connection to God himself. 2 Kings chapter 2, let's begin in verse number 8. And I'm coming down, hang in there, I'm coming down, I'm on my way. I'm looking for a landing. Boy, there's a runway right in front of me too. But anyway, 2 Kings chapter 2, look at verse number 8 if you would please. And Elijah, you remember Elijah, right? Elijah took his mantle, you remember that? Took his mantle and he wrapped it together. Well, I got this right here. I could probably use this. I'm going to have to get it dry clean. But anyway, wrapped it all up. He wrapped it together and he smote the waters. Remember that? And they were divided hither and thither so that they went to over on dry ground. That's Elijah and Elisha. You remember Elijah and Elisha? Elijah was that mighty man of God, that mighty prophet. And he took his garment, his mantle, wrapped it, and he smote the river and it opened up. And you know, it's a miracle that it was departed is one thing, but to have dry ground instantly, that's a miracle. And they went over. Verse number 9, and it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Boy, I would probably have said that too in light of what I just saw. Amen? Yeah, give me twice as much power. Amen? Look at verse 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou be with me, when I be taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. And if not, it shall not be so. Verse number 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. That was wonderful. Verse number 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now look at verse 13. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah. What Elisha did was he said, hold on a minute. I've seen Elijah do this. And he grabbed his mantle, right? That fell from him. And he went back and he stood by the bank of Jordan. And look at verse number 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters. What happened after he smote the waters? What happened after he smote the waters? The best that I can see, nothing happened. See, he took what Elijah had. Elijah did this with this physical thing, and it happened. I'm just going to take that physical thing like him and try to do the same thing. And he smote it, and nothing happened. You say, how do you know nothing happened? What did Elijah do next? What am I at anyway? Yeah, you know what? I lost 2 Kings. I'm going back. 14. He took the mantle of Elijah, fell from him, and he smote the waters. And then he what? He said, what did he say? Why is he looking for the God of Elijah? Because using the physical mantle didn't work alone. If it would have worked, he wouldn't have said, where's God? Can I get a witness on that? See, the garment of Elijah is not what's necessary. It's the God of Elijah. It's not a physical connection that did that. It's God that did it. And don't ever mistake. It's not so. You know, for years and years and years, people would be enamored by certain preachers. And you know what they would do? They say, I got to get me a pair of those glasses that he wears. I got to get me the type of suit that he wears. I got to get those floor shines like he wears. Boy, if I can dress like that preacher, maybe I'll be as dynamic as him. And you dress like him and nothing happens. You got it wrong. Physical connections are not enough. It's not their garments you need. It's their God you need. It's not the ark of God you need. It's the God of the ark you need. Amen? And I believe that Elijah tried to do the same thing. It didn't work. And therefore he said, hold on a minute. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Now watch what happens after he inquires for God. Verse number 12, Elisha, verse 14. And when he also had smitten the waters, you know what that tells me? He smote it again. First time didn't work. God let him know, no, it's not the garment, son. It's me. I'm the one that did that. Amen? Why do you think they had to get rid of the rod of Moses and nobody knows where it's at? Certain relic things, or actually the body of Moses and other things, people can't know where he was buried because they would worship that. I think the rod of Moses was burned, wasn't it? But anyway, and when he also had smitten the waters, get that, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over, verse number 15. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw it, they said, listen, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. They say this. They say that Elijah performed about 8 miracles. And Elisha twice as many. A double portion. When it comes to salvation, physical connections are not enough. When it comes to safety, physical connections are not enough. When it comes to success in facing the enemy or in facing the ministry, we need a personal connection with God himself. Physical connections are not enough. Here's my conclusion. There is a conclusion, brothers and sisters. Amen. My message to those that might not be saved here is this. Don't leave this life disconnected. Don't leave this life disconnected, because you'll be disconnected forever. Amen. My message to myself and to all of us that are saved, don't live this life disconnected. You see, as saved people, we can allow sin to disconnect us. And then we just basically have to become hypocrites. Amen. Don't live this life disconnected. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. I'm going to ask Brother Ralph and Brother Jason that they'd be so kind to get that song ready as we close up our services this morning. I thank you for your attentiveness this morning. Somebody told me let it rip, so blame them. I won't tell you who they are, but nonetheless. Brother, if you'll come and lead this song. We're going to close with this song, and then I'll close with a word of prayer after we sing it. Nothing between. What is it? 292, if you would, please. 292.
Salvation.
concerned about being saved, after the service, I'm up front. My wife's up front if you're a lady, and we'd love to take the scriptures and show you from the scriptures how to be saved and know it. And so if you have any questions, any doubts, please come see us. We invite that for you to do that. And also, let me just say this. In about 3 weeks, I think August the 6th, will be the first Sunday of next month. We have the Lord's table, and if anybody who's been saved needs to be baptized, we would love to baptize you if you've been saved. And if you need to be baptized, let us know, and we'll set it up for August the 6th, all right? Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our dismissal. Father, we thank and praise you for this day. We thank and praise you for the opportunity to gather together, to sing wonderful hymns, and to hear the scriptures, to hear the word of God, the wonderful words of life. Father, I thank and praise you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the safety we have in the Lord. Lord, help us to make sure we stay connected with thee, Lord, walking with thee daily, Lord, that we might enjoy the safety that you provide and the success, Lord, the success in battle, the success in ministry. Father, I pray and thank you for the missionaries visiting us today. Please, we pray you'll meet their needs and help them by your grace to get safely to Papua New Guinea and to be a blessing to the lost, Lord, to help them to hear the wonderful words of life and be saved. Father, thank you for everyone visiting this morning. We pray for your safety, your blessing, your watch care over us. Keep us through the week, Lord, if it be thy will. If you tarry, we live. Bring us together next the Lord's day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Amen.